He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we did have big news in the market between last Friday's show and today's show, and that was the downgrade, the third credit agency to downgrade the U.S. debt. That might be the cause of a little bit of a downdraft in the market today here. The NASDAQ's down 85 today. It's at 13,713, but the NASDAQ has been very, very strong here recently. The Dow's down 32. It would be down more, but Boeing is having a good day on a couple of good news items there for Boeing. The Dow down 32. The S&P is down 17 points right now to 43.97. The small caps are down 0.5%. That's the Russell 2000. They remain in negative territory for 2023. If you're heavily loaded up in small cap stocks, you would definitely be underperforming the market here in 2023. Crude oil is up 32 cents, but it's clear down to 77.49. As the war in Israel rages on, gold is up 210 to 1939. And the 10-year, yeah, see, this is having an impact. It's up 6 basis points today to 4.69. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm, open to the public. We don't have these huge $2.5 billion minimums or $2.5 million minimums. We try to help folks all across America, and we're picking up a couple of more markets here in a few weeks. Houston, we'll be going to Houston, and we'll be going to Cleveland. So
Cleveland had a big win, win in NFL yesterday with the field goal against their rivals, the Ravens.
So I always root for those underdogs, the Cleveland Browns. Right. Had an interesting past. Okay, well, we're off to a sluggish start in the market, and there was big news in the market right after the close on Friday, and that was the downgrading of the U.S. debt by Moody's. So Moody's becomes the third agency. There's basically three credit agencies out there. Moody held out, but they cite large fiscal deficits. Really? I mean, it's like $2 trillion a year now somewhere in there, and $33 trillion total, which is just obscene. And they worry about the U.S. They call it debt affordability. You know, with the rate on the 10-year up around 4.65, that's about $1 trillion a year in interest that the U.S. government will have to pay. We've talked about how the debt has just exploded. I mean, I call it spending on steroids.
Yeah, it's a big warning. I mean, you look at it, and you know they kept the rating at AAA, but they're telling you, you know, they turned the credit outlook to negative from stable. And it's, you know, what they're telling you is like, hey, get your stuff together, or we're gonna cut your AAA rating. I mean,
yes.
It's simple as that. I mean, does somebody not read this in the middle of Congress?
Boy.
I mean, whatever side of the aisle, you know, you're on, they're all at fault. I mean,
yeah, they're all at fault.
I mean, you got to get it fixed.
Trump took it from 19 trillion to 23 during the years he was in, which was a 21% increase.
Yeah.
But Biden has taken it from 23 to 33. That's a 44% increase, and he's still got another year in office.
Yeah, he's only three-fourths of the way done, right?
So let's just say that he continues at the pace he's going of racking up the credit card. We would have a 56% increase in the 4 years under Biden. And, I just think it's past the point of return. You're not going to get this thing back to zero. And does it have ramifications? Well, you saw Friday what happened. Our credit was downgraded to negative. And now it's costing us 4 5/8% to borrow money when people were throwing money at us, buying our bonds, down at 1 or 2%. Now people are a little bit reluctant to buy. And as also a consequence is you've had massive volatility in the Treasury markets like we haven't seen. One person said it's the Treasury market is trading like biotech stocks that are out there on the frontier trying to find. They're not that wobbly. They're not that crazy. But it has been pretty wild and unpredictable. It's the wild, wild west right now in the U.S. bond market. So that's how we begin the week. We did finish on a very high note. It would have been interesting to see if Moody's would have announced that news before the close on Friday. They waited till after the close because the Dow was up. We finished the week up 391 on Friday. The NASDAQ was up 277. We had a huge day again. We're having a good year. I don't pound our chest too much around here, but we're having a very good year in the market. You can verify that by looking at the newsletter. The NASDAQ was up almost 300 on Friday. Oil continues to struggle. And now we've got interest rates under watch once again. And, Barry, there's a very important report. Is it Tuesday and Wednesday this week when all eyes will be on a couple of reports?
Old CPI, I think, is on Tuesday. And then we'll get retail sales on Wednesday, which has become a little bit more important. Just watching in terms of any economic slowdown or slowdown in spending from, wish we get some slowdown in spending from the government and keep the spending on the retail side
Going forward, I think there's going to be a shutdown of the U.S. government. I think you've got a new House Speaker that's going to maybe show a little more backbone than the previous one. We'll see whether or not they get a deal or not. And that's also weighing on the market. It is good to have a divided Congress with the Senate, at least for the markets, because it does create gridlock. Okay, now, also, there was one other event on Friday that kind of went unnoticed, but for me, that set a fire underneath the tech. It was Taiwan Semiconductor announcing really good orders. The orders were way up, and Taiwan Semiconductor had a very good day on Friday, but it was the ripple effect. Lifting AMD to a huge day, NVIDIA to a huge day, ASM lithography to a huge day. Lam Research just exploded to the upside on Friday. So that kind of went unnoticed, but there was this huge rally in high tech, mostly in the chip sector, where we continued to have a pretty good pretty good exposure to. Information technology was up 4.8% last week. That was the leading sector. Energy was at the bottom, minus 3.8. That's worrisome because it's got to point to demand. The supply hasn't changed. It's got to point to demand being soft, which does not bode well for the overall global economy. I mean, that's a major indicator. And oil prices continue to be very, very soft. Okay, we get those two big reports this week. That, of course, impacts the Fed. Most people think there will be no more rate hikes, but the Fed has definitely not taken them off the table. And there was a big warning from
it's that verbal tightening.
Yeah, jawbone it down, jawbone that tightening. Art Cashin was interviewed on CNBC. I've watched him since the first day I was in the business. He says the U.S. Treasury is going to need to have to issue further bonds more than expected. He's the director of floor operations at UBS. He said that Thursday's bond auction, and we talked about this, he said it was absolutely lousy. He says what the Treasury needs would be greater than what the market expected, he said. So keep your eyes very closely on any reports about the need for further issuance of bonds. Why is this necessary? Because it's needed to finance the deficit. Finance the big deficit that is ballooning. So there's definitely major ramifications of the spending that is taking place, unlike I've ever seen in my lifetime, and that's one of the fallouts. Okay, when we come back, I want to look at dividend-paying stocks just a little bit this year and try to figure out, I think I know why, but why they're underperforming the market, especially the high-dividend stocks seeking alpha. Those stocks have not done very well, even though those are the number one stories on Seeking Alpha. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I would make the argument that dividend stocks are also interest rate sensitive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're thinking of when you do the, discounted cash flow, and, that's part of the future dividend, right, or future cash flows to shareholders that are, down the ways. And as you discount those interest rates go up, as you discount those back to present-day dollars, they're worth less.
So. Absolutely. And the higher the dividend yield, the more sensitive.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. And do I have any proof of that? Yes, I do. There's two high dividend yield indexes, okay? Vanguard has created a high dividend yield index. It's down 5.9%. Year to date.
And so we're not, which means we're not just picking on, just REITs, right?
No.
Of course, REITs make up a good amount of that indice, but it's across the board in terms of, dividend payers. It just hasn't been as attractive of a place to be.
No, and I'm going to call high dividends, anything over 5% probably. It gets into that high dividend range.
Right.
And the higher the dividend this year, the worse the performance. Oh, there's been some exceptions. I mean, Frontline is up 75%. That's one of the leaders. But the leaders in the high dividend index are really questionable kind of stocks, like Mexico Cement, the Cementos, which is out of Mexico, Betterware de Mexico, another one. UWM, which is sketchy, Banco de Brazil, which is sketchy, Spock Holdings, a lot of sketchy stocks in that high dividend arena. And then the Schwab U.S. Dividend Equity ETF, okay, Schwab's got theirs, it's down 8.9%. Now you take the Spider S&P 500 Dividend ETF, and it's down 9.6% year to date. We should be pretty happy with the performance of our dividend and growth because it's well into the positive territory this year.
Yeah, and in a challenging space. I mean, it's a
yes.
Obviously that's a.
And here's another one: iShares Select Dividend ETF is down 12.3% year to date. But you know what? I've focused more on the low dividend side of the index, not the high dividend side. And I've said this many times, especially in this environment, which favors growth stocks, I would rather have a very low dividend yield and good growth versus a very high dividend yield and no growth. because you're very sensitive to interest rates.
Right, and it's a total. I mean, it's you've got to remember, at the end of the day, total return is what matters, which is dividend plus the movement, right, or in movement in the price of the underlying security or stock. And so, to look at just one side of that equation, right, is to me is just not a not ideal.
No, and the other thing is, even going up one step further, what's outperformed them is the no dividend. Look at the NASDAQ, which those 100 stocks, very few of them pay a dividend. NASDAQ's up 30%, while the high dividend indexes are all underwater this year. So, look, every year is different. Last year, on a relative basis, the dividend-paying stocks outperformed the market. Of course, it was a big down year in the market.
Yeah, still so, negative, but you know, certainly held up much better in terms of drawdown versus versus your NASDAQ names.
Yes, and there's no question that interest rates play a big role on how you're going to tilt your portfolio. It's not age, okay, which is the asset allocation model. Interest rates play a major role in your asset allocation. And as the needle of interest rates points higher like it has been, that just eliminates bond funds and high dividend yields completely out of the picture until that interest rate picture improves, which it hasn't improved yet. We just hit 5%. Even though the Fed's not doing anything, the market's been taking rates higher. Okay, we've had some earnings here today. We've had the Tyson Foods. Fisker's going to report. I mean, the only thing we're watching on Fisker is how much did they lose. And we've had a few others. Okay, now tomorrow we get Home Depot, which hasn't been reporting. I mean, that COVID bounce, the COVID wind at their back with everybody staying at home and, improving their homes and putting in swimming pool, that's gone. So Home Depot doesn't have that anymore. But we'll see, because they're an important player in the Dow and in the S&P 500. On Wednesday, we get Cisco, which is not the company it used to be. We also get Target. It will be interesting if they've overcome the big hit they took.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much theft they have had.
And shrinkage. They don't call it shoplifting anymore.
They call it what it is.
Shrinking, which is a little bit more nice. Okay, Palo Alto Networks will report on Wednesday, TJ Maxx. And then on Thursday we get Walmart, which didn't. I mean, Walmart benefited from Target's woes. There's no question about that. Alibaba reports on Thursday. Applied Materials, Beazer Homes, Gap Stores, Macy's, Ross Stores. So we're not done with earnings season yet.
Got some retailers, yeah.
But 82% are now in the books. And it's been a good earnings season. We're going to beat the estimates. The original estimates were around $55 per share for this quarter, which if you extrapolate that at an annual run rate, that's $220 annually. Instead, we're going to come in at about $58 per share. If you extrapolate that out, that's $232 per share annually in earnings. So that's a pretty big beat when you extrapolate it out. One other thing here, Ford workers in Louisville, I think that's where the big truck plan is, they vote against the new labor deal. So just when we thought we had an agreement, that's kind of the gem of Ford's lineup is that Ford F-150.
Yeah, now, I wonder how that goes, right?
I don't know.
Is it a unanimous? Does it have to be unanimous?
Are some plants open and some plants closed? I'm not sure. Okay, and then last but not least, before we go into the close here, or the break, there's always biotech, either a huge winner or a huge loser. Today there's a huge loser, Aclaris, their mid-stage trial for arthritis. Oh, man, I could use something there. Down 86% as their trials fail. Now, when we come back, Boeing has two. I have a lot of living here. I just live a few miles from the Boeing plant, maybe 5-10 miles. And I have a lot of friends that work there. My neighbor across the street is like one of the bigwigs over there at Boeing. They've got a couple of big news items. And then I want to give you a big update on Lilly and the weight loss drugs, which there's two companies going head-to-head. It's Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. Some say those will be the biggest drugs of all time. Are they right? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has improved somewhat here since we started. The Dow is only down 9 points right now, almost to the flat line. The S&P is down 11, and the NASDAQ is down 52. Part of the reason that the Dow is doing pretty well here today, one stock especially is doing very well, the Dubai Air Show. Okay, it kicks off with a huge deal. Emirates, which is the airline out of Dubai, I believe, they kick off with a massive 95-plane deal. And who gets the deal? Boeing gets the deal. That's the first bit of good news for Boeing, which is up 4% today. Boeing is up 4%. It's a long ways off of its all-time high, which was, or its 52-week high, 243. It's at 204 right now, but it's up 4%. So they get the big deal from Emirates. And the second news, big piece of news for Boeing, is China may end the Boeing freeze with a 737 MAX deal. China is considering resuming purchases of Boeing's Boeing symbol BA 737 MAX aircraft when the U.S. and Chinese presidents meet this week. Okay, that's in San Francisco, the Asia summit, the APEC summit. And, of course, Xi and Biden haven't gotten together for quite some time. There's a pretty big chill between the two. Let's see if San Francisco can warm it up a little bit. Terms of a potential agreement are still under discussion and could change or fall apart when Biden and Xi meet on Wednesday, according to the report. Boeing has not made any significant sales of its 737 MAX narrow-body jets in China since at least 2018, 5 years ago. So we'll see. It's always interesting to see what shoes they're wearing when they win the marathon. I'm surprised. Okay, ONON this year was the winner. I just wonder how much it's the runner and how much it's the shoes, though.
The Owen Cloud, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
But
probably a good bit to do with the runner.
Yes, ONON is kind of making a big hit, and the winner did wear those shoes. But Deckers Outdoor, I never thought I would see the day. Deckers started out as UGG boots, a California company where you really don't need UGG boots. Well, it does get chilly there, a couple days out of the year. But UGG boots, they have that brand Hoka. And I wear Hoka shoes. They're the best shoes I've ever worn for comfort and support. I've worn a lot of running shoes during my life. Different brands. I like Hoka the best.
And it took a while for them to come in, remember, didn't it?
It took a while. I had, yeah, they were out of stock when I ordered them. I had to wait a couple of months. But several runners in the top 10 were wearing Hoka shoes made by Deckers. Okay, the weight loss drugs. Last week, Lilly got the news that everybody was expected that it's been approved for for weight loss. And they named the drug, Mounjaro's the diabetes name of the drug, but it's basically the same drug. Now it's indicated for weight loss. And it's not, you know, look, if you're looking to lose 3 or 4 pounds, you're not going to get a prescription for,
right.
Which is, it's Zepbound, which is a weird name. I don't know how they came up with that. It is taken from Tirzepatide, which it used to be.
But if you want to lose 20% of your body weight,
yes.
Right, then...
You know, and I know several people that are on it. It's just astonishing. When I see them from week to week, it's just astonishing. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, I agree. For once in my life, I agree with Jim Cramer. Well, I agreed with him. He recruited me to write for thestreet.com. I agreed with him then, too. But anyways, no, he sometimes comes up with some good ones. But he says this is a stock you never want to sell. Well, that my antennas went up and said, maybe I should sell it. But anyways, this is a huge drug. It's a huge drug. If you can have massive weight loss across the board in America, I just can't even tell you how big that is. Now, it's not cheap, okay? It's about $1,000 a month from what I understand. But Tirzepatide now has been endorsed in the EU. For weight loss. This actually happened on Friday without much fanfare, but I think it's safe to say that Europe has about the same obesity problem that the U.S. has. Yeah. Eli Lilly is expected to add $4.1 billion in U.S. sales by 2031 in the U.S., a recent report from data analytics firm Global Data indicates. According to the report, that's about half the level of Novo Nordisk Wegovy. In fact, they're saying Wegovy's going to generate twice that. And for that reason, we own both of them.
I saw a story today where I guess, what, over the weekend, I think the news came out in terms of Novo Nordisk. I believe their drug actually was tied to 20% better cardiovascular health or something.
That's right.
Pretty impressive study. So
they announced on Saturday that its FDA-approved weight loss therapy, Wegovy. Okay, so that's your choices, Zepbound or Wegovy. They seem to work about the same, but I'm told by... someone who's been in the pharmaceutical industry all his life, he says that Lilly's is a better drug. And Lilly's going to have a new version out at some point in the future that's really going to be even better. Well, they said that Novo Nordisk leads to cardiovascular benefits irrespective of age, gender, ethnicity, and obesity level in their Phase 3 trial.
So, in other words, it improves all hearts, no matter whose heart they are, right? Age, race, weight.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it just is, it takes away that craving for food. And it may have other uses in other addictions. That's another one that, so the ripple effect, I think, is massive. And for that reason, you know, over the last several months, we have made those two drugs our biggest, those two stocks. Our biggest holding. We're very, very big believers in these drugs. And, you know, and the benefit, I think the sales are just barely getting underway. You know what? I talk to most people, they've never heard of it. You know, if I mentioned, you know, I was talking to a guy, well, he was picking my brain about what my favorite stocks are at the current time. I said, well, you know, I think the weight loss drugs, everybody should know about what's going on there. And I would say the vast majority, I don't think it's gotten out that much. Wait till they start running commercials with before and after pictures and whatnot. You know, bye-bye Jenny Craig, bye-bye Weight Watcher, which is going to start using the weight loss drugs. Bye-bye Nutrisystems and bye-bye to the Planet Fitness gym and everything else. when you could just take a pill, or it's an injection. It's an injection. You got to be brave and inject yourself once a week or whatever it is. But the weight loss that I've witnessed has been nothing short of miraculous and stunning. Apple leading the way. Has Wedbush ever said anything bad about Apple? They're leading the way as the new tech bull market has begun. Well, I believe it did in January of this year. I can't sit here now and say that a new tech bull market has begun. It's been underway since January, and it's gone a long ways.
Yeah, look at the chart. I mean, the charts will tell you that it's already started.
So. Yeah, the NASDAQ's up 30% so far this year. Well, I keep saying, what can Apple do to get something new out there? You can't just keep making Apple 13, Apple 14, iPhone 15, iPhone 16. You got to have something else. Maybe it's AI. Apple is working on generative AI, and Morgan Stanley shares how they could monetize it. Well, by the time they get it out there, I don't know. I mean, it seems like Sam Altman and his group are way ahead of everybody else. Here's one thing as we go into the break here. Here's the scary part of AI. Here's what Sam Altman said. He says there are channels into our single product, which is their product AI, which is intelligence. He calls it, we're trying to achieve magic intelligence in the sky that we could all tap into. Just as a Christian, I would say, what happened to God? I thought he had all the intelligence. No, Sam Altman does. Okay, we'll be right back. But I must choose the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, 92% of the companies have now reported in, those are the S&P 500 companies, of their earnings for the third quarter of this year. 81% reported a positive EPS surprise. 61% reported a positive sales surprise. At the beginning of earnings season, the S&P companies were expected to report $56.10. And as of Friday, that number is up to $58.14. So, you know, $2 per share for a three-month period of time is a pretty big increase, because if you annualize that out, you go from 224 annual rate for earnings to 232. And we are moving higher in actual earnings with one quarter left in the year towards the projected earnings for next year, which are right now at 246. So you see, you got to get up to about 6150 per quarter in earnings, which we're headed in that direction to get to 246 next year, 2024. And then you have to figure out what multiple over the years, the long-term multiple, 16 to 18, we got up to 22.5. That was not sustainable back in 2021. We got to 22.5 early in the year. That was the top. That was the COVID top, the sugar high. Of all of that speculation and froth.
And zero rates.
Zero interest rates, okay?
Or negative, really negative.
Created by the Fed.
Negative rates at the time.
Yep.
But, man, I tell you what, the news keeps coming in good for Boeing. Your neighbor's going to be busy. I just saw where they just got an order for 90 jets from Turkey's Sun Express airline. So
yeah, he just roared by in his new Ferrari down the street.
Yeah, in a minute he's gonna roll by in a
wow.
jet.
Well, you know what? Boeing is an unpredictable stock. It's very unpredictable. And for that reason, we pulled the plug for a small loss earlier this year. It has rebounded somewhat. But as far as consistent growth stock, it's difficult. It's a difficult one. There's a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah, it's got some turbulence, to say the least.
Right? Yes. I mean. Okay. So, anyways, we've had a good earnings season. We've got 6 weeks left. How many shopping days before Christmas is that? Not very many. I mean, you know, look, I don't know what it is about the South versus the West, where I came from, the Southwest versus the Southeast, but they start putting up Christmas decorations here right after Halloween, the day after Halloween.
I walked into a Lowe's before Halloween.
Oh, before Halloween.
And they already had they had all these Christmas blow-ups and everything. I was
I am
not ready. And then this weekend, I'm in the store with the kids, and they're like, the middle one's like, Dad, they're playing Feliz Navidad already.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
hey,
and I've seen just some spectacular homes already, all decked out and everything.
Well, I haven't seen
put up a light yet.
You got homes that are decorated?
Oh, big time.
One of those.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now, in the market today, just a few minutes left here, without Boeing, the Dow wouldn't be doing anything.
No, right.
And Apple's down 1%, Intel's down 1.5%, so the tech stocks are not doing. Big tech is absent. All of a sudden, someone lit a fire under Tesla. I don't know what the news is there.
It's when they hit 200. I was going to tell you. Look at the strength off of that number whenever you look at the chart, and it's up today. So
Tesla's up almost 3%. It wasn't at the open. It's gathered steam since the market opened. The other one that's doing pretty good here that we own and we love, Booking.com, is up 1.7%. That's leading the NASDAQ. The chip stocks are taking the day off. They need a breather. They really shot up higher on Friday. So Lam, ASM, both down 1.5% today. And over at the S&P 500, I don't see really anything that jumps off the page except the continued selling in the lithium stocks. ANET's having a good day. Arista Networks, it's up 2%. And Illumina continues to get clobbered, down another 5.8%. Well, we're submitting. Everything's done on the app. We're submitting it all today. We found the last few little bugs, and we should be flipping the switch. Man, I bug those guys every single day. I find one last little thing that needs to be corrected. And as far as I can tell, this is the week. Now, I don't know how long it takes for Android, Google Play Store, and the App Store
to approve.
It's just an upgrade to the existing app. So
right.
In Android, it's going to be treated as a brand new app because we kind of let our Android app die. They were just so, oh, man, it's every week they want something from you. Google is really intrusive. And, Google's about one-tenth of what Apple is as far as apps go. The revenue we got from Google was almost pathetic there, and they're bugging you all the time to update this, update that. We've changed our rules, blah, 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 blah. I just said, screw it, it's not worth it. But now we're going to get back in the Android store because I realize a lot of people have Android phones, and I'm working on a new idea. That would even expand the app even further into my brain, into my head, into my observations every day. But suffice it to say, you're going to be able to create your own list of stocks to follow. You're going to see a lot of screens like top performer over the last 10 years listed listed in order, lowest PE stocks, highest dividend stocks, all kinds of stuff once you have that database in place. You can manipulate it in a lot of ways.
Chatbot? No Gunderson chatbot yet?
Not yet, but that's also on the drawing board on our web version of the app. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, look up the stocks and the funds that you own, that your guy or gal has you in. You can look them up on the app. We'll do it for you. There's a lot of mediocrity in the industry. There's a lot of mediocrity in the stock market. There's over 5,000 stocks, ETFs in the database, And right now I have 198 that are ranked B plus or better. 198. What is that? 4%, something like that. What are they? Those are the best stocks now, in my opinion. What are they? Well, get the app. Go to beststocksnowapp.com to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.